Good afternoon, my AOWs. I am so excited you clicked in to hang out with me for the next half an hour. You are going to love this show. So Andrea Donsky and I have known of each other for a really long time, finally got to meet and podcast together, and it is just so exciting for us to connect. She's just an incredible human researcher, mother, person. You're absolutely going to love her. She's known as the menopause educator and researcher to her 300,000 TikTok followers, and she is a bona fide nutritionist. And we talk all about what this means as you're going through the perimenopause to menopause transition. She also is the owner of her newest venture, Morphous, which signifies Metamorphosis plus us. It's a community that empowers women over the age of 35 to reimagine menopause. And you guys know how I feel about education, community, and support with real, no BS facts. All right, guys, let's get into it.
Welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening to the show. If you love the show, you're going to love my new book, Unlock Your Menopause Type. This book is really meant to help you identify and target and therefore best treat your most bothersome menopause symptoms. In the book, I go through all the different ways menopause can be treated with HRT, of course, non-hormonal therapies, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. And if you are so inclined, please leave a book review wherever you bought your book. I will absolutely be thanking you. I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. I am so excited that we finally get to do the official recording. Hit record. No, hopefully internet instability or me falling asleep, which happened because I'm really jet lagged. But welcome to the show, Andrea. I am so excited to have you.
I am so happy to be here. And it's so nice to officially meet you.
Yeah, I think we've been Instagram like friends in the menopause circle since like definitely before the pandemic. And I'm really excited to spend this time with you to really get to learn what makes you excited about women's health, what makes you excited, especially coming from your background of nutrition and women's health, and like how you got there. Because people always ask me this, they'll say, you know, you look like you might not be menopausal yet. What makes you so excited about, you know, late reproductive health or midlife women's health or you know, care for older women sometimes? But you know, I, of course, am so interested in all the complexities and nuances. But tell me a little bit about like your journey to taking care of women in midlife.
Absolutely. So it's personal experience for me. So I have been in the health and wellness field for a long time, over 23 years now. So I've always been an educator. I've always been speaking to women and to people in general, teaching them how to make healthier choices, that healthier choice for ourselves. And when I was 47, I got my first hot flash. And that's when my world kind of changed from there. So up to that point, I had my third baby at 41. And at 42, I never really went back to feeling like myself. So I thought, oh, okay, like I wasn't sleeping well, my anxiety was worse, I was gaining weight, like all of these things were happening to me. And then at 47, when I got my first hot flash, I remember like it was yesterday, 2 months to the date after my 47th birthday. And I was at my stand-up desk in my office, and all of a sudden this like intense heat came over me. And I was like, whoa, am I in menopause? Like that was the first thing that came to mind for me, because that's what we associate, right? Hot flashes, menopause. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. It makes sense now. All of the things I've been experiencing since I gave birth to my third, like that was 5 years, that, you know, a long time. I'm like, oh, okay, it might be menopause. I didn't even know the word perimenopause existed. I knew absolutely nothing. And what shocked me is because I had been in the health and wellness field at that time for 17 years, I was like, how do I not know anything? How did I never talk to my doctor about it? How did I never talk to my mom, my friends? Like, and I remember when I started getting these hot flashes, I would ask my girlfriends, I'm like, so do you notice anything different in your body? They're like, no. And it was like this I kind of felt like I was alone on this island of, okay, well, maybe I, you know, maybe something's wrong with me. Like, I just didn't understand it. And that the way my brain works, Heather, is I'm very much data driven, like more data, the more I just, please bring it on. Whether it's an N of one, whether it's community research, whether it's reading medical journals, like I am constantly reading social listening. I'm just always, I always want to understand and understand what's happening with people around me. So I started to dig deep into the research. I started going down the rabbit holes of understanding menopause and perimenopause. And I learned everything I possibly could so that I could understand it myself and then teach everyone in our community. And that's when I decided to start a TikTok page. And I was like, okay, let me just go on TikTok talking about menopause. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we created this incredible community on TikTok. And it just went, it just came from there. That's when we started Morphous and everything just blossomed. It, you know, it's kind of when I say to myself, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I feel like I'm here. I'm in this space of, and I love it so much. And I love learning about it so that I can help others as well.
Oh yeah. And it's like, it's a gift that keeps on giving, because there's so much that we still don't know. There's so much to uncover. There's so much, women are so hungry for more information. And it's great because patients will say to me all the time, I learned about perimenopause because of TikTok. I learned about this symptom because of TikTok. I found you because of TikTok. And it's a great platform because it's easy to, it can actually be, well, easy to spread information and disinformation. But particularly, I do think that part of the boom of menopause, perimenopause is because of, you know, social media, but I'm even going to go ahead and say TikTok in general. But, you know, what has that journey been like on social media and TikTok in general? You know, more deeply, what's that been like for you? Do you share your own stories? Do you share your research? What do you share?
So I love that you're asking that question. And it took me a while to find the platform that I really felt resonated with me. And we had always been on Facebook and Instagram through, or my other company and Twitter through my company. It's called Naturally Savvy. So like I said, I've been around for a long time in the health and wellness space. But when I went into menopause and started understanding it and really trying to, you know, figure out what was happening to me so that I could help others, I was like, you know, let's try TikTok, because it was one platform that I wasn't on. And I thought, I'm just going to be niche in that area. I'm literally just going to talk about perimenopause and menopause. And I started, so what I do share, to answer your question, is I share a lot about our symptoms. So I talk a lot about symptoms. So the way that my analytical brain works is that I want to understand why. So I remember as a kid, my mom used to say, you ask so many questions. I'm like, yep, made a career out of it. That's all I do, ask questions now. And I've become successful at it, right? So it's so funny. So I'm always like, why is this happening? I want to understand, why is this happening to my body? So I share a lot about the whys. I share a lot of education, a lot of our research that happened over the last year, where we started creating our own surveys and really gathering research from the women in our community on TikTok, our newsletter, our website, wherever we can, women who are in this phase of life. And I will share personal stories. I answer a lot of questions. And I also have a really cool series with my mom. It's called Conversations with Mom, because once I started to understand perimenopause and menopause more, I started asking my mom questions. And she shared with me, like, she had a hysterectomy. So we started having that open dialogue. And my mom she's been a master of social work for more than 33 years. She works with survivors of trauma. Let's call it survivors of trauma. That's her area of expertise. So we have a whole channel just devoted to questions that, you know, that women are asking, that my mom's answering. So it's really fun. I kind of go, you know, my lane is nutrition, lifestyle, and supplements. I'm a nutritionist, and that's what I focus on. I always say I leave hormones and all the medical stuff to doctors like yourself. That's not my lane. I stay in my lane.
Well, you know, it's so lovely, because I think having the opportunity to share your story and share it with others, like, it resonates with so many people, because for far too long, and now it gets harder and harder, especially for someone probably like you and me, to remember the days where we didn't talk about it. Cause we talk about it like all the time, like every day with like hundreds of thousands of people. So we're like, everyone's talking about it, but there definitely are still pockets where people are not, you know, discussing it yet. Or I will have patients that say, we still don't talk about this between me and my friends. So, you know, by sharing your story and it resonating, It's really, really so powerful. It's so, so, so important. So let's get into some of this research, because I love to learn, you know, especially because there's so many gaps in care. So I'd love to know, like, tell me, of course, not just the data, but like, what, how did that process go? Because research is a process. It's so much more than just the findings. It's actually, and I think this is really the crucial part. It's like actually what you do in the beginning that actually shapes what the answers actually mean, right? So we've had a lot of studies that actually have created some misunderstanding, but tell me about the process of doing, starting the data and the process of like what questions you were most interested in answering.
I love that question. So for me, it really centers around symptoms right now. And we have one on workplace, which I'll get to in a minute. So for me, understanding the why is it happening? So I'm going to take you back to a story which really led me to this. So several years ago, I was at a party with my husband and I met this friend, an old friend of mine, who was telling me that she was creating an app for women in menopause talking about symptoms. And I remember my first question was, really? Are there that many symptoms that you actually can create an app for it? I was like, and I was serious. And she's like, yeah, there's like 30, 40 symptoms. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. So that night, literally, or it was that night, that week, I came home and I started recording it. I created a Google Doc and I started recording all the symptoms. And I did my own, like my own N of one, like I said, talked to women in the community and I talked to, I also read the medical journals and I was like, okay, 30 to 40. Okay. Started tracking it. But then what started to happen is that I'm like, wait a minute, there are way more than 30 to 40. There's only, you know, 34 recognized symptoms, but there are way more from according to what I'm seeing and from what women are sharing. And that led me to really say, okay, well, I think we need to do a little bit more research on this. So I call it our observational anecdotal research, because we go to our community and we talk to our community and ask them to answer questions. And so what we've been focusing on is our signs and symptoms survey. So right now we have over 3,100 responses. I was like, okay, if we get like 200, 300, we'll be good. I'm like, nope, we're at 3,100 and counting. My next goal is to get to 5,000. And then we're going to keep tallying these results.
Yeah.
So we have 3,100 responses in our signs and symptoms. I did an analysis on sleep because, as we know, so according to the research that we did, sleep is the number three most common symptom that women are experiencing, followed by fatigue and brain fog, and then it's fatigue, and then it's sleep. So I wanted to understand, okay, so why are we not sleeping well? So we have a symptom, we have a survey on that. And then another symptom that when I was doing my research, I'm like, wait a second, phantom smells. This is a much less known symptom, but kind of like going through all of my symptoms and understanding my journey, I thought originally I started perimenopause at 42, went into it at 50, but now I'm realizing I started perimenopause at 36. I started getting these phantom smells at 36. I'm like, phantom smells, what are they? Are they common? So I was like, okay, I found out they are very common. About 22% of us are experiencing it, but what is it in perimenopause and menopause that we're smelling? With these phantom smells, are things that other, for your listeners, they're when you smell things that other people don't. So what is it in perimenopause and menopause that we're smelling that, you know, is, you know, not common that other people aren't smelling at the time? So I did that. I did one on anxiety and mood. And now we just launched a workplace one as well, because as you know, it's so important to talk about menopause in the workplace. So we have five surveys right now currently on our website and they're ongoing. We're always collecting new responses.
That's so amazing. What's your website again, just for anyone who's listening, who wants to chime in?
It's wearemorphous.com. So WEARE, and it's MORPHUS. And our name is Morphous. We made up the word. It's metamorphosis. So morph, us is a community. So we created that. I love it.
Love it. I will drop the link in the description if you did not memorize it while you're driving or walking. But that's so amazing, because this is the kind of data that fills in the gaps. And, you know, I've spent many years prior to having private practice in academic medicine. And it's funny how we end up actually almost shooting ourselves in the foot, because we make it so hard to just do surveys that sometimes when you just do them publicly, it's just so much easier and you can get so much more data and you can just do it so much faster. And, you know, what is your geographic range for the women that are filling these out? That's super interesting.
Global. So on TikTok, so I promote, you know, I talk about it a lot. I go live on TikTok a lot, and our community on TikTok is constantly growing. So, right, it's global in so many different countries. And so it's nice to know that it's not just one region or one country. Like, it really is from women from all over the world. And you know what's interesting, Heather, that we found out? This surprised me the most, and maybe not yourself so much, but like, I wanted to understand, because I was one of the statistics, is that How many women don't understand the difference between perimenopause, menopause, what stage they're in? And what we found is pretty consistently across the board is about 20% of women don't know what stage they're in. Mm-hmm. And that could be for several different reasons, right? Yeah. So it's about not knowing what stage you're in, I'm thinking, okay, so we have a lot more education that we need to do and we need to share so that women will understand. Because once you understand what stage you're in, then you could take the necessary steps to feel better, whether it's whatever that treatment is, whatever that lifestyle change is, that can help you.
Can we go back to the smells? Cause I feel like I have phantom smells and like, you know, I'm married to a man and I think he always thinks like, it's always your sensitive nose. Cause you know, it starts in pregnancy after that, like especially your like olfactory nerves are just like heightened. But sometimes I'll smell like gas. And then I'm always worried that I'm smelling gas, or it sometimes especially like musty smells, but like, what are people reporting? I'm dying to know.
I love it. So let's talk about it. I love it. Currently our phantom surveys, we have 550 women who have filled this out. So it's a really nice sample.
A good number.
So the number one phantom smell that we are smelling in perimenopause and menopause is, like, 41% of the women are smelling this is smoke, including cigarette smoke. And that was myself. I was constantly smelling smoke and burnt toast. Mm-hmm. Number two, 26%. So it's a pretty big gap between the first one and the second one is body odor, BO. Mm-hmm. And then we have mildew and weed, which is another one, and overheated electronics or burnt wires.
Uh-huh. That's, I think, where I'm smelling gas, that like smell. That's so freaking funny.
Gas, burnt toast, sewage, cat pee, rotten eggs. I mean, the list goes on and on. And most of them are not pleasant smells. However, this I found super interesting is that some women smell sweet smells and smell like chrysanthemums, or they smell cheap perfume, they were saying, or they have blueberry muffins. And I was like, oh, why couldn't I have had that phantom smell? I had like burnt toast and like smoke.
You don't get to decide, do you? I don't know if you can manifest that. I mean, if you could, oh my goodness. That's really so fascinating. What else have you found that's just along this line of complete fascination?
All right. Like, I love, first of all, can you tell? Like, I just love when we talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like dancing over there. Yeah.
I'm like, let's do this. Okay. Yeah. So then we also did research. So I can share the top 10 or top symptoms that women are experiencing. Can I share my screen? Am I able to share my screen? Because I can even.
Sure. Of course. Here, let me give you permission.
Thank you. So what I'm gonna do is
multiple participants can share. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, amazing. So I'm just going to put it into slideshow mode, and then I'm going to come back and. Okay, so you can see my screen.
I can see it. Yes.
Amazing. Okay, so these are the most common symptoms that we found from our research, and you could see that we broke it down by menopause and perimenopause, which again is super fascinating.
Yeah.
So the number one symptom that over 3,100 women are experiencing currently is, and this, by the way, is so right now it's based on 3,082 women. We now have the over 3,100. So fatigue. 72% of women are experiencing fatigue, exhaustion, lack of energy, more common in perimenopause, which makes sense. More common in perimenopause. Number two is brain fog with 66%. And that's pretty even between perimenopause and menopause. Number three is sleep issues, with more so in menopause than perimenopause. Then we have memory loss, anxiety, joint pain, lack of concentration and focus, hot flashes, low libido. Mm-hmm. And then we have lack of patience, night sweats, slower metabolism, and digestion.
Oh, we call lack of patience irritability.
Irritability. You got it. Exactly.
Lack of patience sounds so nice.
Exactly, that irritability. Oh, exactly.
But you know, digestive problems are a big one. So if you're walking and you're not watching, I see slower metabolism, which is maybe the nice way of saying weight gain, and then digestive problems. But the digestive problems, I wonder what you're seeing, because a patient will report a lot of bloating, gas, belching. And that's what I see a lot in terms of patients talking about digestive problems. And that's really, really so fascinating. This is incredible work. Amazing. And thank you to all of you, all of the women who participate in this type of research, because it really helps us so, so, so much. Wow. What's your biggest takeaway? What do you think?
I think that for me, It helps me to understand that what women are experiencing. And I kind of joke, but it's not funny, is that I experienced so many of these symptoms. I mean, that's what really led me. So my hot flashes, my night sweats, my mood swings, my rage. Oh my gosh, my rage.
You mean lack of patience?
Lack of patience and crazy rage. Like my family, like the name, I'd be like, yeah, I was like, who am I? But you know, these symptoms that I'd had, and I had so many, the phantom smells, I mean, the list goes on, the itchy ears, the dry eyes, I mean, on and on and on.
Oh, the itchy ears. I hear that one all the time.
Itchy ears.
Yep. Yeah.
Thinning our skin, drying our skin. So I think for me, understanding what women are going through is like, okay, so now we can understand treatment plans and what we can do to help women. So again, my lane, nutrition, lifestyle, and supplements, which is what I focus on. And I say always, and hormones, if that's what you choose to do, which is more in your lane, right? So for me, my takeaway is that, okay, we now have information and we now know that there are over 100 symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. So let's go back to that 30 to 40 that we originally thought, or the 34 recognized. There are over 100. And this is what we're getting from our research. So we have now narrowed down what they are. We know what stage it's more common in. So if you're in perimenopause, we're like, we know that it's more common for you to have, you know, anxiety, right? For example, like I'm looking here at the sheet, or fatigue. So maybe there's ways that we can help you when you're going through perimenopause versus when you're going through menopause. So I think for me, that's where it's about the answers and how can we help to alleviate the symptoms? How can we help women feel better whatever stage that they're in, so that they can manage their symptoms and their overall health? Because once we're in menopause, I get this question so often, is how long are we going to be in menopause for? You know, how long does menopause last? Mm-hmm. And I always say that I think what you're asking is how long do the symptoms last? Because once you're in menopause for the rest of your life. So when it comes to symptoms in particular, there are so many ways that we can help you nowadays. And I remember when my mom was going through it, she suffered from hot flashes for, I think, over 20 years. And there was nothing at the time, right? So they weren't prescribing hormones back then. And we now know from the research that I do, I focus heavily on supplement research and ingredient research and understanding what are ingredients that can help us manage our symptoms, of course, with nutrition and lifestyle at the same time. So we now know that there are different ways that we can get help and we don't have to suffer. So I would say that would be my biggest takeaway, is we just don't have to suffer. Ask for help.
Yeah. It's so, so, so fascinating. You know what I think about when I see your data, and this is very interesting because of the data that we do know, progesterone tends to decline in perimenopause, which can lead initially to the trouble with sleep, right? So anxiety and sleeplessness, and then brain fog, exhaustion, fatigue because of the poor sleep. I see those actually all kind of, they're like a domino effect of each other, and they're more prominent in perimenopause. Then you notice that sleep issues persist a little bit now into menopause, because once your sleep schedule starts to suck, your sleep schedule really starts to suck, because that's another vicious cycle that goes on and on and on. And then hot flashes tend to then kind of come when you really lose the estrogen into menopause, which is exactly what your research showed. It showed more, of course, because you were able to demonstrate lots of other symptoms. But it also really did validate some other theories about physiology, that our progesterone declines first, and then our estrogen is kind of volatile. We still make a little bit, that declines. It's fascinating. Okay, this is so cool. I'm so amazed and excited for you, and honored to get to watch all of this happen. And it's incredible. So, I want to spend just the last little section here on supplements, because my show is pretty heavy on HRT. And I always say to my guests, it's not that I think HRT is the only option, it's just the one that we're the most confused about. And there's a lot of different nuances. But I would love to dabble in, a few of your favorite supplements. And I think what I kind of want to ask you about in particular is sleep, since that's the one that seems to really fuel the fire. And I think that that's, you know, a lot of women, I think, also may be interested in supplements for metabolism, but I kind of want to steer away from those and really just kind of focus on sleep, because, you know, I hear people like loading up on magnesium, loading up on melatonin, loading up on chamomile and lavender. I'd love to just hear your take on that, supplements and sleep, based on what you found in your research.
So I always refer to myself, I joke that I'm a sleep hacker, a menopause sleep hacker. So I wear a wearable and I am obsessed with my sleep. Like literally.
Yes, obsessed. I know. Because
obsessed yeah. with the research, obsessed with getting sleep, obsessed with helping women get sleep in this phase
yeah.
of life.
Yeah.
So, and I, if I go to bed and I forget to wear my wearable, I literally get out of bed and I'm like, put it back on because
I'm that dedicated. Yes.
I'm like, so dedicated.
Like, I must track N of 1.
Exactly. That N of 1, I'm telling you, it's like my favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's back up for a second and go to our sleep research. So what we found is, and it was very important for me, again, to understand why we're not sleeping. So I understand it's number 3, it's super common. And like you're saying, especially in perimenopause and what happens with our progesterone and how it goes. And I love that you actually talked about that, of how it works and on a continuous basis as we get into menopause. And because there's things we can do. And what I wanted to do is understand, okay, so why are we waking up in the middle of the night? I understand we're not sleeping, but why? What are the main reasons? So according to our research, and this has, we have almost 3,000, so we're not quite there yet, but just a little bit under, which is pretty amazing. The number one reason, actually, I'm going to ask you, can you guess what the number one reason is that we're waking up at the night, during the night in menopause and perimenopause?
Oh, I have one guess. How many guesses can I guess?
Take as many as you want.
Okay. Partner snoring.
That's one of them, but that's not one of the top 3, but that is one of them. Yes.
Okay. I hear, oh gosh, this is so fun. Okay. So a lot of times my patients tell me that they wake up just wide awake, 2 a.m. No good reason. So okay. Just kind of like wide awake, no good reason.
So here's the reason why. When we wake up between 2 and 4 a.m., it's generally because of stress. Our cortisol is rising at the wrong time. Yeah. So number one reason we're waking up between 2 and 4 a.m. is because of stress. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we need to incorporate some type of lifestyle activity, whether it's during the day, before bed, to help us reduce our stress level and therefore reduce our cortisol level, right? So that's number one. Number two is going to the bathroom. So I've had women who tell me they get up every hour on the hour to pee every single night. And I'm like, okay, we got to work on that. And number three are night sweats. And then we go into, like you said, the snoring, which is sounds in our room, muscle aches, a lot of pain. A lot of people are making waking up pain. Restless legs is a big one as well. That's keeping up, or Charlie horses. And then we have room is too warm, my mattress or my pillow isn't optimal, sleep apnea, medications, and a lot of other reasons that go down from there. So I'm like, okay, so if we know now that, because like I just said, that stress is number one, what can we do to help ourselves fall asleep so that we can hopefully stay asleep? So I'll talk about some sleep hygiene and then I'll get into the supplements. And for sleep hygiene, what's really important is before bed, having some type of ritual. So going to bed at the same time, going outside in the morning, getting some sunlight into our eyes in the morning helps to reset our circadian rhythm. It's telling us in the morning, that's where our cortisol should be high. And at night, we want our body to make melatonin. Melatonin is what helps us to fall asleep and stay asleep. There's some excellent research on melatonin for women in menopause, how we produce less as we age. We're producing less melatonin anyways, but taking melatonin in this stage of life is very helpful. I couldn't take melatonin before I was in this stage. Now I cannot go to sleep without it. Honestly, like it's like my favorite supplement. And again, mentioned nuances before, and we don't have that much time today, but I'll have you on my podcast and we can talk about it, because nuances are huge in the supplement world, right? So what type, how much, the dosage, the quality, right? So there's so much that goes into it, which is a big part of my research.
Yeah.
So it's understanding why. So for me, incorporating some type of daily routine, especially before bed, maybe it's listening to sound bowls, maybe it's meditation, maybe it's deep breathing, maybe it's getting off your phones an hour before, making sure you're not exposed to blue light. Now that could be a filter on your phone, or it could be blue blocking glasses, right? I know that kind of we feel silly wearing them, but they work. And the reason they work is because they're blocking the blue light, which keeps us awake.
Yeah.
You know, how taking a bath perhaps with some, some essential oils in your bath to help calm you. Sound baths are amazing. So you can find them on TikTok. You can Google them. Sound baths, which are fabulous from a vibration and sound standpoint. I mean, it's fabulous. So there's so many different things that you can do to have that routine. The other thing is you want to make sure your room is cool. You want to make sure it's 65 to 68 degrees. You don't want to eat too much before bed. If you're eating a huge meal before bed, you're not going to be repairing, you're going to be digesting, and that might wake you up in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah. So and the reflux also, especially if you're laying down, ladies. Yes. That reflux.
Yes. Big one, the reflux. And so you just want to make sure that you're doing things to kind of prevent it. Alcohol, like I cannot have alcohol anymore. Forget even in general because of hot flashes and night sweats, but they will trigger a hot flash. They will trigger night sweats for me. So we'll wake up when we metabolize our alcohol, even though it might help us fall asleep. So many different things like that. And I'm like, okay, let's start with that. Let's see how that does for you. Wearing a blackout mask is really important. It's going to help us to create and produce that melatonin. Mm-hmm. So those are really good places to start. If you're like, you know what, I don't want to really go for supplements. I really want to try doing something beforehand. So try all that. And there's a lot more. And then I say, if you need the extra help with supplements, then there are some amazing ones that are out there. So magnesium, you mentioned magnesium. Why is magnesium amazing and what type? So magnesium glycinate, and we have an amazing magnesium glycinate on our site. And we actually have a product called Sleep Us coming out anytime now, and which also helps with sleep. So the magnesium glycinate is what you want to take before bed. And that's a question we're often asked is what type do we take? If you're looking to help with sleep, you want glycinate or bisglycinate. Why? Because it's attached to the amino acid glycine. Glycine helps us to relax. So magnesium just helps us. It helps with that with restless legs. If you have eye twitching, muscle cramps, all of that, it just helps you to relax. So it's an amazing supplement to take before bed. If you're taking ours, you take 2 to 3 before bed. It's fabulous. And then other ingredients that I absolutely love are melatonin. Melatonin's amazing. Sustained release melatonin is really fabulous. So if we're looking, you know, because I've tried so many different types of melatonin, the sustained release is what works for me. Again, and I always say, you know, try different things, because even if you've tried it once, you're like, oh, I tried it, didn't work for me. Maybe you didn't take enough. Maybe you took too much. Maybe you didn't take the right type. Maybe, you know, so there's so many, like I said before, so many nuances with supplements that it's really important to buy a brand that A, you trust, B, you have access to ask questions. That's, I'm huge on the questions and the communication is understanding. And also how much do you take and what type are you, right?
Oh my goodness. You know, that's so important. The sleep hygiene is so important. And like kind of to cap this off, because this has just been a fabulous, like well-rounded conversation. I'm so proud of us for getting here. You know, it is one of the reasons I see, especially medically, that women tend to have more trouble with sleep is that, especially in perimenopause, as the poor sleep starts, we are so busy. We are so overwhelmed. We are overworked. We have so much going on that if we don't make it this immense priority, we will find really bad coping mechanisms to fall asleep, falling asleep on the couch, falling asleep with the TV on, falling asleep at 2 a.m., just pretending like you don't need sleep, which is like one that people do all the time. Like, oh no, I just don't need it. Oh no. Oh no, no, no. Cause there is data to show that women live much longer, healthier lives if they get 7 to 8 hours of good quality sleep. There's also data to show menopausal women will stay in bed longer getting shitty sleep. And we saw this actually last year at the menopause annual meeting. And I hear this all the time. My patients will just lay there, like begging to fall asleep. And I know that it's easier said than done. All the rituals and the baths and the essential oils is so much easier said than done. But the longer, you know, you go with that bad hygiene, the harder it can really be to break it. And the more bad habits you've already started, like alcohol, like you mentioned, it feels like it helps you fall asleep, but actually it's going to cause a lot of nighttime awakenings. And then a lot of the women will get put on sleeping medications, which then are really hard to come off because the sleeping medications turn your brain off, and that's great, but it gets you farther and farther and farther and farther from sleep hygiene because you have this medication or this pill that will do it for you. So this is just so enlightening and so fascinating and so interesting. And I just commend you for taking matters into your own hands. Like really, it's so exciting that you've turned that. What topics were interesting to you prior to perimenopause? Just for fun. I'm just wondering.
For me, I was all about reading ingredients, food labels, because that's where my expertise really lay. I wrote a book. So like I said, Undrunk Your Junk Food. We wrote back in 2011. I've been doing this really long time. And what made me realize, and what's so interesting now because of all the news with the World Health Organization and aspartame, I mean, these were things we were talking about in 2011.
Ten years ago.
So long. And we were talking, but we called something called the Scary 7 ingredients, which include artificial sweeteners and a whole bunch of other ingredients. And what kind of led me to this. Now I'm like, okay, so that's where my expertise was for so many years. Yeah. And obviously to do anything to really do in the health and wellness space and nutrition and stress and all of that. And I'm like, well, how do I kind of incorporate that with menopause? And how do I bring that expertise to what I'm doing? And then obviously learning a whole bunch of new things. But for me, understanding how these additives are affecting our body in this phase of life are important too, because I hear from so many women, you know, oh, they've got terrible migraines, or, you know, they have heart palpitations, which, by the way, with the heart palpitations, I'm big on that because I had that for so many years. And I, you know, I'm sure you've covered this on your show, to have people go get certain blood tests, go get things checked out, like your antibodies, right? Your thyroid antibodies. Now that I know when I have heart palpitations, like thyroid, I need to go get my thyroid checked. And there's so many different reasons for it, right? Like low vitamin B1 and vitamin D and all the other ingredients, all the other things that could be potential causes. But I'm like, okay, so how do these additives like MSG affect us? Well, we know the side effects of MSG can be so similar to some of these symptoms that we're experiencing in perimenopause and menopause. Aspartame, right? Whatever it is, artificial colors, artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup. These are all things that we now know play a role for women in perimenopause and menopause. And that's why I'm on such a mission to really help women understand. And I'm not the type of nutritionist that's going to say never. I'm also not the type of nutritionist that's going to say don't. I'm the type of nutritionist that's going to say, let's think about this. I want you to listen to your body. You're the captain of your own ship. Think about how this may be affecting you now that you're here. So I try to empower women. And that is really my goal, is to empower women, because you all live in your own bodies. You know what affects you the most, right? So if you're eating kale and you're like, nope, kale doesn't work for me, then don't eat.
Okay.
So you need to like eat what works for you and understand your body best. So that's where I really, what led me into it to now, is to understand how do these ingredients, these additives affect our body? And then how can we change the way we're eating, change our lifestyle habits to work with us now that we're in this phase of life? I say often is that what worked for us before, no matter what that is, exercise, food, lifestyle, whatever it is, doesn't work for us when we get into this phase of life.
It's, so it's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? It's a really hard lesson. And you don't want to be the one to necessarily say it, or maybe you do, but it's so, so, so hard, because it's hard. Like, you know, it's just so unfair. But when you do, the faster we accept, I don't know if that's the right word, or start to embody what the new changes are, the way our body now responds, you know, ultimately it is liberating, actually.
Yeah, it's mindset, you know, and it is hard to get our head wrapped around it. So I agree with you. So, and that's why I'm saying little baby steps. You don't have to do everything at once. One thing at a time, because we're also very overwhelmed as we get into this phase of life. We can't deal with stress as well, right? Myself included.
Myself included.
Always working on that. So it's a matter of like, okay, how can we take this in like bite sizes so that we can actually make a change and make a difference?
Well, thank you so, so very much. I know I'm going to tag you in the description, but where can people find you on your socials?
So at Andrea Nonsky on Instagram and on TikTok and pretty much everywhere. And then at We Are Morphous, and we're on Instagram there. So you can find us there, on LinkedIn. We're kind of all over the place.
Thank you so much for shedding light. Thank you for telling us about your research. Thank you for telling us and filling me in on everything that you're doing. It's so amazing. We finally got to get to do this together, and I can't wait to continue and have you back on and vice versa, and just keep these conversations going and keep learning as much as we can. And I love how you always ask why.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. And yes, I want you on my podcast. I can't wait to have you on my podcast as well. And let's continue the conversation.
Thank you guys so much for listening in. I hope you love this episode. If you do, please leave some stars, leave us some reviews. Let us know if you hit the poll over on Spotify, and I'll see you guys next week for a brand new episode. Bye everyone. If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. And don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you, and how to make adjustments, and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states, and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives, or work with me one-on-one.
Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show.
If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.